Hello and welcome to Chief Among Friends. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Hobson, the Chief Medical Officer of Orion Health. On this podcast, I chat about topics ranging from technology priorities to new innovations in integrated and coordinated care to healthcare sustainability. You can follow the conversation on hashtag Chief Among Friends and be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Chris Hobson. Today, I'm very excited to have my good friend Pauline McLean with me to discuss all these questions from the perspective of her extensive work in the UK, focused on similar topics in the world of the National Health Service. I've been working with Pauline for many years now, and I'm constantly impressed by her leadership and the high quality of work being done in the UK under her watchful guidance. Pauline remains a registered nurse with over 20 years' experience in the National Health Service, moving from direct patient care in a surgical high dependency unit in one of the largest hospitals in the UK, to working in health informatics, initially as a project nurse, then as a clinical lead in the implementation of their electronic patient record. Pauline is also Orion's clinical safety officer and works with our customers to assess and safely deliver our solutions. Welcome, Pauline.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to be here.
The NHS is the crown jewel in the UK's health system and widely respected internationally for its ability to deliver the highest quality healthcare free at the point of service to all UK citizens. When it comes to the clinical use of information technology, NHS Digital, which has a similar role to the Office of the National Coordinator, ONC, in the US and Canada, Health Infoway in Canada, is also very highly regarded, and I believe there's a lot we in North America can learn from NHS Digital. Note that instead of the term health information exchange, clinicians in the UK generally reference the same concept as the shared care record. So, Pauline, let's start with the shared care record, or health HIEs, in North America. So, question one, how has the shared care record impacted healthcare in the United Kingdom?
Well, you know, there was a time in the UK when information between organisations wasn't shared at all, and that was for a number of reasons. There was the governance. Organisations didn't have the data sharing agreements in place to allow that sharing. And then there was a gap in the technology. It wasn't supporting the sharing of data between different systems. So the information existed in the multiple siloed different systems across different organisations. But that was then. Fast forward to today, and it's much more important than ever to ensure that not only clinicians have access to the information they need and when they need it, that everyone caring for that person has access to the right information. And that's key to ensuring that the individual is receiving the best possible care with minimal delays. And that lack of access leads to delays.
Yes.
So the concept of a shared care record is about local and regional collaboration, not just across health, but across health and social care as delivered by local authorities to develop the shared care record and cater for the health and the care of that population in the region. Now, the aim is to design shared records for improving and coordinating individual care. So regardless of where an individual is receiving that care and support, whether it's at their general practitioner, their primary care physician, or their local hospital, or the community hospital, or even at home, the health and care professionals looking after them can access the right information at the right time. And this is team-based care. We now work as one team, and the shared care record is a key enabler for those new models of care delivery. The NHS plan is to deliver shared care records to the whole country by 2024, and it's long been recognised that we need to break down historical barriers, especially around mental health and social care and GP data. And this is consistent with the national plan in that we remove the silos of fragmented system data and bring it together in that concise way using national standards and interoperability, all of which Orion Health provides.
So it's very interesting, Pauline. I do actually have a question just to discuss around that. So the team-based care, did that evolve as a natural thing, or was it kind of imposed? The idea of working as one team is obviously fantastic. Could you maybe just give us a little bit more about how that evolved and how that came to be?
So the one team concept, when you're in the four walls of a hospital, you have that multidisciplinary team concept because you have your allied health professionals, you have your clinical professionals. But way back when I first started nursing, anything to do with the social care of that person that was delivered by the local authority, in order for them to engage with the clinicians in the hospital and with the patients, it was all very controlled by what information and access to the data the hospital was willing to share. So as a nurse in the ward, if I took a call from the social care department asking about a patient, I could give no information. There had to be that formal structure of a case conference, and the information was only conveyed at that case conference. So the social worker would come into the hospital, have that meeting between the nurse in charge, the occupational therapist, the physiotherapist, the nurse, everyone in the hospital engaged in that care would have that meeting and discuss the various pieces of information. Now, the patient was at the centre of all this. The information was all about them. That was a crazy concept to me, even way back then. Mm. Why were we not allowed to have these conversations? But it was about the data. You know, everyone had their own idea of, well, this is health data. You don't need to see it because you're a social worker. And likewise, the social worker would say, well, we don't share any information to you because it's not really relevant because you're taking care of the health needs of the person. But when the information became shared between the care, the social care and the hospital, it was a completely different model, because the governments, the e-health departments, realised themselves, if we have less funding to support people in an ageing population being brought into hospital for care and we can't sustain it, and that care has to transition into the community, then the community and the hospital, the acute, they have to join up, they have to all talk. And likewise, the same with the GP information. Historically, that information was held by the GP as the gatekeeper, because the person's first contact may be the GP who then referred them to the hospital. So the GP holding that information didn't share anything. But it became very, very apparent that in order to maintain the safety of the patient, we had to know the information that the GP had around medicines and end-of-life care plans. And we had to know what was involved with their allergies and their alerts. Same with social care. We had to know, how are you caring for this person in their own home? We're bringing them into hospital. What services do you have in place? So we need to know what they are so that we can stop them. So that strategic direction of joining up the health and care became an absolute strategic direction for the health organisations to say, right, we need to put this plan in place and this is going to be our strategic direction.
So it sounds as though the team-based care evolved as you built more shared records and more sharing of data. It became more apparent that working as a team was a natural way to deliver the best benefits.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. So what type of information, we've already talked a little bit about social care, but so what type of information is typically captured today in a high quality shared care record?
Well, you have your traditional clinical information, and that includes your laboratory results, your radiology reports, the medications, the allergies, the clinical documentation, and that includes the correspondence, so your discharge summaries, your referral letters, any assessments that are done within the hospital, and mental health information. So that would include the likes of a crisis plan and the key workers. And these form the basis of acute care data items, as well as visibility of the person's encounter history. Now, when we display which services the person has attended, in which locations, under the care of which provider, including the emergency department attendances, we can very quickly, within that shared record, look and see where that patient has been, which services they've attended and who's looked after them. And that can equally identify vulnerabilities. For example, the child or the vulnerable adult who are attending different hospital emergency departments across a region. So information that's derived from the GP clinical systems includes the investigations and results, the GP medications, alerts and allergies, problems and care planning. Now, these care plans include the end of life. So when we have a shared care record, it enables all providers to respect the patient's wishes. And that offers a much better patient experience because they can be assured that the people who are looking after them actually know about them because they can see the information. From a GP perspective, providing that specific view of their patients not only improves the efficiencies, for example, giving the GP a list of their practice patients who are recently discharged from hospital or attending the emergency department, that improves the speed of follow-up. And some information like discharge summaries are electronically sent straight to the GP systems, so you're not having any delays in that continuum of care. When it comes to social services in the community, that's the social determinants of health in the US speak, that includes the likes of shared assessments. So it's a needs-based assessment for that individual, tailored to meet their specific requirements and shared amongst the agencies the individual comes into contact with. And that means that they are treated consistently and their wishes are respected because all the information is there. So rather than have that patient with the mental health needs admitted to hospital or for other social services to be informed, they can see that they have a crisis plan. They can contact the relevant people, whether it's the mental health crisis plan or whether it's the social care assessment key workers. There's appropriate people to engage with rather than just admitting that person into hospital. So you're avoiding those unnecessary admissions.
That's very interesting. I think one of the things about the shared care records is that those clinical documents, straightforward clinical documents, I think particularly in the US, we've tended to go to the CCDAs, but the difference between a CCDA and say a discharge letter or a referral, which are clinical documents, they'll usually include things like the reason for this referral or some other, you know, a summary of the patient's full thing when you're doing a discharge letter. So I do actually think the clinical documents is probably a better way to go. But for various reasons in the US, we tended to have gone to the CCDA kind of route. So do you ever have issues with just putting all of the documents? I guess that you do maintain the privacy of them. And I think it'd be more valuable if we could push for people to actually have the actual document rather than a derived standard like a CCDA.
Yeah. So we have the documents. And the documents are within the Orion Health clinical portal in the clinical document view. So that clinical document view in the UK is indexed to national standards around document indexing. And that sits across all electronic systems displaying information. So it's a standard approach to how we categorise the document in line with ease of access. The access to the documents themselves is controlled by the consent and privacy model that's in place in the organisation. So it's at that higher level of organisation, whether it's an implicit consent for all information to be shared and visible, or whether certain information from certain specialties is locked to user access controls.
So right.
The right information being visible to the right person.
Right. So you use the document and you apply some privacy and access controls, and then that's obviously worked well. So following on from that, so what are the benefits that would be widely accepted and agreed as achieved for clinicians and perhaps for patients and citizens? What are the benefits from the shared care record that people have, our clients have seen?
The resulting benefits to a clinician is the reduction in time spent searching for information, and improve communication across all the organisations, sharing the information, and that leads to improved decision making. Access to information not previously known saves lives. It reduces the delays in treatment and leads to less frustration for the clinician trying to do the very best for the patient with the information they have. Now, from a social care perspective, it can be as simple as being able to see the citizen is attending or has been admitted to hospital. Now, that enables valuable resource time to be diverted instead of thinking the patient has collapsed behind the door and having to make a forced entry to the patient's home, only to find they're not there, they're absolutely fine, they're elsewhere. Knowing who the key providers of care are from the social care perspective means that you can communicate across the care providers. So you're ensuring the ultimate safety of the person in their own home. I know who's looking after them. I know who to contact in the event anything goes wrong. And I know that there's a first step and a first line other than just that emergency admission to hospital. From an individual perspective, shared care records provide increased confidence because the person knows that their information is not only safe and secure, but the people that are caring for them and looking after them, they know about them. And that reduces the need for the person to constantly repeat their information. And that leads to frustration. It leads to a lack of confidence in the organisations because they don't know about them and they're having to tell them all the time. And that brings a negative perception to care delivery, and we want to avoid that. Being aware of a person's needs because the information is available reduces the hospital admissions. It facilitates the early discharge. If we know what social care services we stopped at the point of admission, we can easily start them again at the point of discharge. We know who to contact because we know who their key workers are. And if anything changes, we can convey that information. We can have that meeting with the social care departments in the hospital. We don't have to prevent that whole conversation because now we share, whereas before we didn't. So supporting that early discharge, preventing the delays are key benefits to patients because it reduces the risk of hospital acquired infection and it lets them get back to normality and lets them get back to their own lives.
I like that a lot. I think that the recent work we did on the kind of population health and where this all leads from a clinician perspective leads to better use of time and so on. Those are real benefits. It's very interesting in that it's also improved social services and the individual as well as the clinician.
I mean, there's operational benefits as well because if you can access that medical history, it does facilitate that immediate care provision through reduction of repeated tests and the unnecessary return appointments and all the delays that are involved while you find that information from the multiple systems and organisations. So that does result in cost and efficiency savings and better apportioning of the resources to treat the sickest patients. And we know that over 50% of a clinician's time is spent searching and adding to the clinical data. And when you find that one in four times the information is not readily available, resulting in that doctor spending on average 63 minutes per day searching for it, overall this equates to that £20,000 sterling saving per doctor per annum.
Which is huge. That's fantastic. And that is seen as a big driver in within the NHS, that those time savings are a big driver?
The time savings are the most commonly expressed benefits that we get. We consistently hear our clinicians saying, I can find the right information using a single system and it means that my life is so much easier. You know, it becomes part of a risk register. You know, if that information is no longer available electronically because the system goes down for, you know, an upgrade planning or new maintenance, it has to be very clearly communicated well in advance, and the clinicians only want to know how long is it going to be down for, because it's critical to the way they work.
So it's now mission critical. That's impressive. So what would be some key lessons learned in terms of making this a reality in the UK with the shared care records?
Well, simply put, why wouldn't you give access to the people who need the information? Because that's what benefits the person that they are responsible for. So why not give it? And governance should not be a blocker. Very often we have conversations with our customers where they work under current constraints and it's, this is how we've always done things. When you work electronically, you want to work smarter using technology. You don't want to replicate what you currently do on paper. But the governance would always be there because it's informed the business case for the use of the shared record. But sometimes there is that kind of thought of, we've always done it this way. Do we carry on doing it this way, or are we allowed to move to a different way? But data sharing agreements are already in place about which organisations are involved and what data can actually be shared. We can cater for consent and privacy and access to the information based on relationships and roles. And this is fundamental to beginning that shared care record. We need to understand the governance that's already in place in the organisations around that sharing and access. We need to know who they are, what roles they have within their staff, which organisations are involved, and then map that to the functionality that we can offer. And it's not just about the functionality, it's also about the data that should be accessible and to whom. And that's the roles of the people within the organisation. So right information at the right time, in the right format, to the right person. But the concept of a shared care record is about sharing. And it can be easy to get lost in these conversations where people want to wrap constraints around accessing the data using the tools that we provide. So we have to make sure that they really understand this is a shared care record. And yes, you may have previously done that, but now you can work smarter and you can ensure that all your stakeholders can see what they need to see. Otherwise, we're back to siloed information.
Very good. Very interesting. So over the years we've worked together, you've seen some of the issues and challenges and benefits that we've had with applying shared care record in the form of health information exchange into the US. Without putting you too much on the spot, do you have recommendations from what you've seen, perhaps taking some UK ideas that might make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's about not reinventing the wheel. Now, the United Kingdom has multiple health authorities, multiple regions, different boards, different trusts, if you go across Scotland, Ireland, England and Wales, but they're all delivering care, healthcare in the same and similar ways. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You look to the successes of the other regions and the other countries in relation to that shared data and that model, that challenge that you're trying to address, look and see where it's been achieved successfully and follow that model. Now, equally, where standards come into play around PRSB, so that's the Professional Record Standards Body, where they say, right, this is how we want information to be displayed within an electronic system. We want you to adhere to, you know, single indexing. That started in Scotland and was adopted by NHS Digital in England as an example of not reinventing the wheel. It's been done in another country. It works successfully well. We have examined it, and we are going to work in the same way.
Something that's proven its benefit deserves, you know, serious consideration for implementing elsewhere. Yeah. Pauline, that's been very, very interesting. So thank you so much for your time today. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again sometime in the future and learning how things are moving ahead in the UK. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for joining me today on Chief Among Friends. For more information, don't hesitate to contact me on Twitter at Dr. Chris Hobson, LinkedIn, or visit our website at www.orionhealth.com.